This isn't the podcast I expected to be doing. 1 year ago, when Flash Diaries mysteriously disappeared, it divided us. This podcast will be perfect when it covers
The Crisis!
The Crisis Diaries, a new episode streaming each week. Welcome back to another episode of Crisis Diaries. If you thought last week was going to be quick, this week I have to think is even quicker.
It's got to be.
I mean, we watched it. I watched Batwoman. I watched Supergirl. I'm pretty sure I saw that. I don't even know at this point. I'm watching so much crazy stuff. Watched The Flash, where we were on a cliffhanger for a whole bunch of big reveals for this week. And nothing. I mean, like, we saw, like, Barry was busy doing something else with Elongated Man. Hank, what is it, Hank? Or is it, no, it's not Hank, is it? Nash.
The bad guy?
Nash.
Oh, no. Nash, H.R. Wells, yeah, the other Harrison Wells.
Wells, yes. Yeah. He took the cousin of Ultraviolet to flash some light on him, on some stones.
And then she didn't do it.
Well, no, then she finally did.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah. But it flashed a couple of stones, and it flashed what I think was a word. But I've looked online, and as far as I know, nobody's really even taken a picture of it or translated it or anything. So, yeah, we thought we were going to break into this thing this week, and we were not.
Hold on. If you go and listen to the episode, I warned that nothing might happen.
You're right. I warned
that it was a very real possibility that there's no guarantee that we'll explain anything in the next episode. You were very confident that they have to explain something in the next episode, but lo and behold, they may have explained less in this episode than in any other episode so far.
Yes, exactly. Well, especially about the monitor in crisis.
Like, exactly.
Very little about that.
It was a James Bond episode of Flash.
And yeah.
And then a little aside with Ultraviolet and her, what is it, her sister or cousin?
Cousin, I think.
Okay, so her cousin, and she's worked. So one's Ultraviolet and the other one's Allegra?
Well, that's her, like, real name, I think, or something.
But I thought one of them was called Ultraviolet and the other was called something else.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the bad guy that looks sort of like the Mortal Kombat character.
Yeah.
I think she's called Ultraviolet. I don't know if they've really given her, like, I don't know if the other lady has a superhero name.
Well, she's called Allegra.
I thought that was, like, that was a mispronunciation of her actual name.
Oh, is her name not actually Allegra?
Yeah, no, I think that's Nash just being dumb. And not caring about her real name. You know what I mean? Like,
well, a lot of us viewers don't care either. So,
oh, wow.
You have Allegra and Ultraviolet. And Ultraviolet was in the James Bond plotline.
Oops.
And we lost you. We lost Charlie. Hold on. Let's see if we can get him back on the phone. There he is. Okay. I never stopped recording. So.
No, neither did I.
Okay,
sorry, I went to pick up my phone, and then suddenly it just was like, the first thing that it popped up when I put my thumb down to, like, open it, it was like, oh, you're on a call. You want to disconnect? Okay.
All right.
Exactly.
But yeah, you had Ultraviolet in the James Bond episode. You had Allegra in the underground Nash episode. I mean, plot line, I should say. But that was it. That was the show. That's all that happened.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you probably remember more what happened at the end than I do, because I do not remember any sort of revelation about a secret word or Allegra actually breaking down and doing something. I don't remember
don't
any of that.
You remember that. That's great.
I don't.
No. She actually comes back. She flashes it. You see a couple of, like, points of light that are, like, the different stones he needs to avoid that are, like, Eternium or something like that.
Right.
Which I feel like doesn't that feels like Shazam reference or something. Like,
I actually believe that is true. I think I recently looked up that the Rock of Eternity,
Right, but yeah, exactly.
The Rock of Eternity has produced Eternium, and that is a thing in the DC universe. So
okay.
Now this is the first example of Eternium we have in the DC expanded, whatever we called Arrowverse.
Unless it also has to do with He-Man or something. Maybe we're bringing He-Man into the universe.
And Gray Skull is the next thing we're going to find.
Yes, exactly. That's the new Batman bad guy. We go nice. Black Mask, Gray Skull.
Skeletor, yes.
Yes, exactly. So there's that. There's a fleeting reference to Vicky Vale in the episode.
I missed that too. Where mm-hmm. Who mentioned Vicky Vale?
They say something about like the dress that they were looking for. Remember how they were looking for a dress that was Sue was wearing when she was abducted or whatever?
I so don't. I must have tuned that out too.
Yeah. At one point they're like, "Oh, that's designed by a Victoria Vale or something." Yeah. So another weird.
Vicky Vale wasn't a designer, was it?
No, she's always a reporter. So yeah,
get
exactly.
Here.
Like,
get out of here, Flash, Arrowverse. Keep your story straight.
Well, we don't know. Maybe it's not. You know what I mean? Like we don't know. Maybe she's undercover as a dress designer.
Maybe it's spelt veil like the article of clothing.
Ooh.
And then that would make sense.
Yeah. But overall, not a lot of crisis. A fun episode. It was, I mean, I know you don't remember any of it, but it was amusing enough. You know what I mean? Like they were, I mean, at least it's back to the like season one happy buddy team up. We're going to do some stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm still a little bummed that like Barry, I know Barry was trying to learn a lesson that he, like the Barry side of him is important, but like at this point, Barry shouldn't go around. Like if what's his face is like, "Hey, I got this under control. Try to listen to me." Barry should be like, "Okay, I'll give you a chance." You know what I mean? Like not,
you mean,
not this like
Joe West.
No. When Ralph is like, "Hey,
oh Ralph, yeah,
we're gonna do it this way," and Barry's like, "No, I got a better idea." It's like, come on, dude, just let him do what he does. So
yeah,
but I had
yeah.
Fun.
This is one of those episodes where they're like, "Hey, I always wanted to do a James Bond plot, so I'm gonna do this," and then they did it.
Yeah.
And you were just like, we have too many episodes this season, so we're just going to throw some stuff in here for filler.
Well, no, I mean, like, there's a little bit of a lesson that, like the person Barry is also as important as the Flash. There's, you know, the Elongated Man is a spy, so this does kind of make sense. The episode was actually directed by Danielle Panabaker.
Oh,
so
okay.
That's kind of cool. That's the second time she's directed. So that's kind of cool too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think we're going into a two part episode that's going to be fairly big, I think. And then we go right into Crisis. So this is going to be
crazy. So the next one is going to be part one of a two parter?
That's what I was reading online somewhere, or at least like two major things coming together or something. I don't know.
Well, let's hope.
Yeah. Yeah. Then
we
go
need
over
something.
Yes, exactly. We go over to Arrow, and we sort of pick up where we left off. Some fun episode, like the beginning of it was a nice little family thing with him and his daughter, and she's like just as skilled, and he's like, "Oh, okay, that's kind of cool. Let's take it up a notch then." And then the rest of it is typical Ollie. "Oh, I want to do it by myself, and then I don't want to have you guys hurt. Oh, wait, we need you because you're part of a team." Yeah. So he's learning the same thing,
that Barry did with Nora last season.
Well, Nora and even, Speedy today, you know what I mean? I don't know if they've actually called him Speedy, but, you know, the same thing.
He's been like, Red Arrow and Arsenal, right?
Arsenal. There you go. With Arsenal, same thing as he's like, learns that teams are better for him. And so I was actually pleasantly surprised to see him stick around at the end there.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun. So yeah, but
he's going to stick around for the crisis.
That would be cool. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I mean, you need a large cast to make
the
it
more
ultimate.
The better, you know. We've seen pictures coming from Crisis, but for the most part they're all, I mean, the big promotional one that dropped like last week is basically just all the main character cast of all the episodes and of all the shows, and you're just like, "Oh, okay, guess so." It'll be really interesting to see how Legends works its way in here, how much they are. So I'm hoping all of them are in it at some point, but we'll see what happens.
Right. Yeah, we will see eventually, just not this week.
Not this week. No. We continue with Diggle's wife trying to convince Black Canary to do something that the monitor was like, you have to betray Ollie. And so they do this thing. And then, of course, she learns a lesson in the middle of it. So she doesn't do it. And so they go back and Diggle finds out that his wife is working against them, kind of, which probably isn't a new, you know, once again, you know what I mean? And then they get knocked out, but they're knocked out by darts. So that makes me think that it's her team, not like the monitor doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because why involve the monitor?
Yeah.
Exactly. We don't have time for the monitor. No one cares about the crisis.
Well, I was wondering if the monitor was like monitoring that situation. And then when they like surprised her with more people, he would come in and be like, okay, stop this. But
what if the monitor is just watching episodes of The Flash and Arrow? And then he's like, oh, nothing happened. And he wants to just change the channel.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that'd be, seems about right. Right.
When do they get to my part?
Yeah, I want more of me in this. I only like TV shows with me in them. Yeah. Ugh.
Maybe you should show up more often. And explain what you're doing there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Or let us in on something at some point. I mean,
right.
It's interesting to let him continue to sort of be the bad guy. Mm-hmm. Like he was up until the crisis on Infinite Earths actually started. But right. Like for the rest of us, it's like, now you know what's happening. Like let's a little bit more hint, a little bit more yeah. something to grab
we
onto.
Need a little more.
I was listening to, we talked about this at the beginning of this, Crisis Diaries season. But the group, Comic Geek Speak, which has a podcast, has a section of podcast within their podcast called The Crisis Tapes, and two of their guys sit there and talk about in detail about like the first like five episodes, or they go through every single time the monitor is seen in the comic books before actual crisis happens, and then like every three episodes after that, like they're in the middle of going through the cover. One episode is on the cover of Crisis number five, I think.
Weird.
Yeah.
The whole episode.
The whole, because there's like 50, it's basically 50 headshots on that cover, and they're just talking about all the stuff.
Okay.
And they brought up an interesting point. And one of the characters on that, and a character that at one point does play an integral part of Crisis, is the Huntress. The Huntress from Earth 2, that's the daughter of Batman and Catwoman. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, that's the Huntress that we get in Birds of Prey. And in the comic book Crisis, she's sort of one of those characters that sort of, I need to go back and find out what actually happens to her, but she's one of those like redundant characters that when the Earths merge together, she kind of doesn't really have a good place to go. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting that that character is specifically mentioned and is a character that's part of Crisis, and we're specifically going out of our way of adding her to the Crisis, this CW Crisis.
Right.
So it's okay. Really cool. I mean, if you think about this, we're getting some interesting players going into this crisis, despite not having the typical Trinity that you normally would think of. The Trinity doesn't really play that much into the actual crisis.
Are you talking about the
Wonder
Arrowverse?
Woman, Batman? No, in the comics,
okay,
Batman, yeah. Superman, and Wonder Woman don't really play that much into crisis. They kind of do, but a lot of other stuff is more important. And it's interesting because I feel like we have a great setup of a lot of the other characters of Crisis that are important, that without that, I feel like one of the more important characters, one of the 15 that he takes in the first episode, in the first issue, is Earth 2 Superman, and I feel like that's what Brandon Roth will be playing as sort of an alternate Superman character. Flash is very important, obviously. Supergirl is one of the big deaths in Infinite Crisis, the comic book. One of the, you know, one of that 15 original group includes, what's her face? Ice. I can't remember her name now.
Like Fire and Ice? Ice?
No. Danielle Panabaker.
Oh, Frost.
Frost. Killer Frost is one of those characters. We're seeing a Huntress coming. That's kind of interesting. I mean, like, it's setting itself up for, like, despite not having the normal rosters you'd expect from a DC kind of show, they're actually kind of able to get into Crisis and represent a lot of what Crisis was pretty well. Something that I feel like they didn't do well, or nearly as well. It was a completely different type of story when they did Flashpoint. The comic book Flashpoint had a lot of Wonder Woman and Aquaman, and they were fighting each other, and there was a lot of other stuff, and Thomas Wayne is a big character in it, and there's lots of that stuff. And when the Flash did that, he didn't have all those characters, so when they did it, it wasn't quite the same. It wasn't quite as epic, and they changed the story to make that so it wasn't as epic. You know, it told a slightly different story.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like them going into this Crisis, they actually do have a couple of more slots filled, per se, than they would have than they did for Flashpoint.
Yeah, but even if you did have all that, you had more than you took advantage of in Flashpoint, because you already had Legends. You had Arrow. Arrow wasn't involved much at all. And, like, you didn't take it. There was never really an intent to make Flashpoint half as big as it was in the comic book.
Well, yeah.
Because it was basically resolved within one or two episodes.
Yeah. Well, and their Flashpoint dealt solely with Barry's story in Flashpoint. And didn't really, you know, we saw some changes, but it didn't open up. Like, the comic book itself was a little bit more of a spectacle with, you know, Wonder Woman versus Aquaman and all this craziness. And then the Barry Allen story kind of, like, you know, just sort of secretly was in the background of that. And when they did it in the TV show, it was all the Barry story with one or two references to how the world is a little different and crazy.
Yeah, but even... The thing is in the comic book, you still stretched it out over the course of a couple of months.
Yeah.
Or a couple of episodes or whatever you want to call it. But in the show, you didn't even attempt to stretch it out. You just said, oh, that was a mistake. I'll undo it all. And then hear the repercussions of after the fact.
I agree. I mean, we've talked about it over and over again that I feel like Flashpoint as a whole was a last minute decision to even do it. And then once they did it, they were like, well, we can only make it for an episode. And then the
whole show is almost predicated on a Flashpoint plot point.
Yeah.
With Eobard killing Barry's mother. That was the impetus of Flashpoint in the first place.
Yeah.
But now that's supposed to happen rather than something that is supposed to be undone.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Well, you know, they got to make him a little bit more Marvel. He was too happy as a Barry Allen.
Right.
But yeah, so it's interesting. I think I'm enjoying the characters that they're pulling, and it's not like so to find that Huntress to be reminded how important Earth 2 Huntress is in the story, or at least as a character in that story, even though she might not directly affect the outcome, her role is an interesting one in Crisis. And so now, knowing that she's going to be the character they pull from Birds of Prey, it means that it gives me a little bit more hope that she will, there's more meaning behind her other than just, oh, we randomly picked one of the three girls from Birds of Prey to be in this episode, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So hopefully that's that's a good thing. You know what I mean?
You also like, hopefully, have Psycho Pirates running around somewhere.
Yep, Psycho Pirate was introduced in the Crisis last year, or the Elseworlds story last time. So we've got that running around. I mean, like, there's a lot of Crisis as a whole has always been an interesting story because of the lack of Trinity in it for me. You know what I mean? Like, when you're like, oh yeah, Superman, and then you're like, well, Superman actually isn't that important, and Batman isn't, and Green Lantern isn't even Hal Jordan in this one, and they don't even really say his name. And, like, you know, and so to realize what characters they actually used in Crisis is pretty interesting, that it's not what you would expect from a DC crossover episode, you know? And so then to realize that they have a lot of those slots filled because they haven't been able to use Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman in the TV shows, you know? And so it's interesting. It feels really like, think about them doing Crisis, but with like Smallville. I don't think it would have worked as well, but like the setup that they have now plays into Crisis in a way that's very interesting, I think.
I think the ultimate point of Crisis on Infinite Earths was to have a lot of cannon fodder, in a sense.
Yeah.
You had a lot of characters that they just didn't want to use anymore. And they're like, okay, so if we're not going to use this character, let's just kill this character off.
Yeah.
And there'll be this dramatic end to that character, and it'll make way for a new version of said character. And that was more or less the thing about Crisis, because in the end, if you're just going to rewrite the history of the universe, you don't need Barry Allen to warn everybody about it. You don't need Supergirl to get shot. You don't need anybody to really go through what went through in Crisis, because at the end of the day, they're all forgotten about, and you just start over on, you know, from a blank slate.
Yeah.
So I don't know. The actual trade of Crisis on Infinite Earths read kind of confusing to me, but that was largely because I wasn't that familiar with most of those storylines leading up to that point.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's what I'm saying. They picked some interesting characters that like weren't A-list characters necessarily, you know what I mean? Like, and so,
well,
it was
because those you could afford to kill off.
Well, exactly. And so it's interesting how that works well with the fact that the CW wasn't allowed to use the AA list characters. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And so so basically all I'm saying is I feel like it's a good fit for this Arrowverse right now to do Crisis. Cause they have either by design or by accident, they ended up with the groups of characters that seem appropriate to be part of Crisis.
Yeah. Yep.
That's about it.
All right, cool.
Okay. Do you want to tell people where they can find you other times?
Yeah, so if you haven't been to my website, it is orlandopodcast.net, www.orlandopodcast.net. It's been a while since I've uploaded new episodes, but in the near future, I am going to do some more recordings. So see if you can find some stuff on Made in the Trade available on iTunes. And you can also listen to old episodes of Cluster Fudge, also on iTunes.
Fun. And as always, you can hear me weekly on Wednesdays. I do We're All Yankovics. So it's a lot of fun.
And I'm on the latest episode.
Yeah, this week we talked to you about Eat It. You felt that despite being in the top 20 of our songs, Eat It wasn't high enough.
It is not high enough.
So yeah, that's a fun discussion. I was listening to it again as I edited it, and I was just like, this is fun. I like this episode. Well, thank you very much, Alan.
All right.
We're kind of at the end of this episode.
Sounds good to me. Well, we'll see you next time.
In a flash.